Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 39 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Yeltaka. Today on the podcast, I'm going to try to make it as quick as possible because I don't have a guest, but I am going to play you an interview. But this is the whole theme of this podcast today is going to be a glimpse into Canada's future, which is very quickly becoming a reality. And I think it's a little bit worse than we all have ever expected. So I'm going to come back, give you a couple of stories that are going on in the world right now. Then after that second break, I will return with an interview with a guy named Mike Loader out of New Zealand. And it's not really an interview. It's actually a submission to some parliamentary body, I believe. And I think you'll find there's a lot of parallels with how business is done in Canada and how anti-gunners do it in New Zealand as well and everywhere else in the world for that matter. Anyway, all that and more right when we come back.
Once you lose rights, it's nearly impossible to get them back. Right now, there are politicians and bureaucrats working day and night to eliminate your ability to own and use firearms in Canada. They're talking about not allowing you to keep your firearms at home and even taking away the ones you already have. It's not a joke. It's not an exaggeration. Activism is a lot of work, and most people don't have the time. But something that you can do is support the CCFR. For $40 a year, you can be a part of the hardest working firearm organization in Canada and get $5 million worth of insurance. The CCFR lobbies government and works to improve the public image of gun owners through media and educational campaigns. Protect your own ability to own and use firearms before it's too late. Go to firearmrights.ca and click Why Join. That's firearmrights.ca.
Welcome back, everyone. So let's get started. You know, things are getting pretty weird in Canada. Bill Blair is using an awful lot of very strange language right now. I don't know if anyone knows why he's doing that. And there's a lot of talk of bans. Now, there's a lot of weird things going on around the world right now. And I want to give you a couple of examples to just kind of, again, just a little glimpse into Canada's future if we actually lose this fight. So the first thing I want to talk about is you guys are all aware of what happened in New Zealand and the massive banning of firearms and just really, really, really a level of action against firearm owners, law-abiding gun owners that we haven't seen certainly in this country since the 90s. And certainly New Zealand hasn't seen anything like that before either. So, and when I talk about action, that is massive banning of semi-autos, which is a big deal. And then, of course, just like if you guys remember, I made that video that got criticized so badly about a scenario where a government bans guns altogether and they end up with some non-compliance and the police can't really tolerate non-compliance or everybody will non-comply with everything. And they have to go get guns. But how do they go and retrieve firearms? They don't send general duty members. They send ERT, right? Or SWAT, as some people might call them. And so what happened in New Zealand, not 4 weeks after the ban, boom, they are raiding people's homes and pointing AR-15s at their 12-year-old children. There was a story out of New Zealand, a couple of them actually, about these raids of prominent people in the firearms community. I guess I can look forward to some of that action myself. But yeah, that's the kind of stuff that's going on in New Zealand. And then I was looking through my Twitter feed this morning and I saw a story about in the UK. Some bill called the Offensive Weapons Bill has received royal assent and is now law. So the Brits, they can't have semi-autos. If they have handguns, they have to have a big bar welded onto them so that they become rifles and all this crazy crap over there. They really can't have anything great. But there's been a bunch of anti-gun activity in the UK, and it has culminated in this bill. Now, one thing that isn't in this bill that they got away with was, I guess there was a big push to get rid of 50 cals, even though they have never had a homicide with a 50 caliber rifle in the history of the UK. But still, obviously, it's a problem because, you know, we don't want people having guns, apparently. Well, the firearms that they lost this time are called lever release guns. So I watched a couple of videos to get the idea of, you know, what the heck they're talking about. So there's primarily two firearms. One was called the Mars VZ-58, and then all lever release firearms. So here's basically how it works. This Mars VZ-58, what it was it's like a semi-auto. It still has a gas piston and everything in it that functions. But basically you cycle the gun, and the bolt gets locked rearward. You pull the trigger and the bolt slams shut. You release the trigger, you pull it again, and it fires one round. When it fires that one round, the bolt slams backwards. You have to release the trigger, pull it again to close the bolt, release the trigger and pull it again to fire the gun. So that's how that worked. Well, apparently that's too dangerous to own, so they've gotten rid of that. And now these lever releases are basically what looks like an AR-15, and it's very similar in the way that it works. Basically, you charge the firearm, right? Pull the charging handle. The bolt stays open. You hit a lever. The bolt slams closed. You pull the trigger and the gun fires. And the bolt slams backwards and gets caught. Like, it's almost like an empty mag kind of thing. You flick the lever again. You know, you push it down. It releases the bolt and you can fire again. So I guess the idea is to make them slow to fire. And I guess these were too dangerous now. I don't know how many homicides they've had with these guns, but apparently they're just too dangerous for people to own. The government is the only group that can be trusted with firearms. So now they've lost those as well. And then there's some, and I don't know the details, but there's some gun control bill in Switzerland that just got passed. And then, of course, we have Bill Blair talking strangely about gun bans and, you know, basically that they're just going to take matters into their own hands because they don't have a lot of time as a government left. Now, the rumor and we at the CCFR had mentioned this right away. As soon as Bill C-71 came out and everybody had a chance to read it, we talked about a weird thing in there and we've been talking about it ever since, which is a Class 12-9, a new class of prohibs that they're creating with Bill C-71. And that new class of prohibs, we said, you know, we're concerned about that because it's a class of prohib, unlike others, that you can take to the range. So, you know, what that screams is we're going to move guns into this classification and they're going to be grandfathered so gun owners don't get mad and they just lay down and take it because they can still take their guns to the range. So we figured, well, that's a nice little class they can do to mitigate the damage and, you know, enact some crazy sweeping gun bans. And we were very concerned that semi-autos or the AR-15 would go into that category. And so how is that any different? It's, let's say for the AR-15 being a restricted firearm, how is that any different than being in this class 12-9 prohib that you can still take to the range? The difference is that there'll be no more new AR-15s coming into the country. And anyone that gets a PAL, a restricted PAL, will not have a prohib license, just like I don't have a prohib license for, you know, short-barreled handguns or anything else because I didn't get into guns early enough. So that seems to be, we think at the very least, I've gotten a few people sent me some messages that seem to be on the inside. They won't tell me who they are, but they seem to think that the AR-15 is going into that category. That's their plan. They say they aren't going to do anything about handguns, but who knows? But my concern is that they're going to move all semi-autos into that category, and that's going to be a real big problem. So I think you know, to round up what I'm saying here, the most important thing to observe is there's a big push going on in every corner of the world to pull firearms out of the hands of civilians. And if you want some material to come up with some conspiracies, I think you have more than enough material here to make some conspiratorial ideas seem pretty close to reality. Certainly, I don't like it. And I think we have to fight this with everything we have. So we've got a couple of projects going at the CCFR, and we're going to continue with the projects that we already have going for basically to notify the public that this kind of stuff is happening and to educate the public that firearms in private hands do not equal a disproportionate risk to public safety. So we got to keep going. So anyway, if you want to have a look around and start reading some stories about any of these topics, I think it's a little reality check. So anyways, I think the liberals have something pretty significant in store for us, no matter what it is. And you know what? There's 66,000 registered AR-15s. There's probably another 20,000 that aren't registered in Canada from the old days somewhere. And if you don't own an AR-15 and you think it doesn't affect you, I'm telling you, if you haven't got the message that all this stuff is done in steps and they keep going, then I don't know what to say to you. So, yep, it's on, folks, and it's happening. So anyway, if you can get out there on Twitter, on Facebook, in your own lives, just talking to people, get people to learn a little bit about the firearm issue and let them know that the solutions to criminal behavior that the government is feeding them aren't the solutions to criminal behavior or violence. They're just a way to get your property out of your hands. If you want to become a member of the CCFR, if you aren't already, that'd be great if you did. Firearmrights.ca, go there, support us on Patreon. We're going to have a contest coming up soon. I'm going to make a podcast a little bit sooner than later this time. So the next one should be about a week away. I'm hoping a week, week and a half maybe. And I will tell you all about our new contest. That's a great way you can win some great stuff. And at the same time, you can support the CCFR and our mission. So we've got a lot of stuff coming up, and that takes funding to make happen. So anything you do to help is greatly appreciated. The other thing I will mention is we've got a couple of events coming up. As you know, we have our AGM coming up on June the 1st in Calgary. If you're around, check that out. We're going to have, it's going to be a big dinner and kind of gala there. We're going to have a lot of fun. And also, if you're a member and you're coming to the AGM, between the business meeting and the dinner, there's a couple of hours where Tracy Wilson and I are going to sit in a room, and anybody that wants to, that's a member that wants to come and ask us questions, we're all going to sit in there together. And basically it's ask me anything. So we will be there to answer your questions, and should be a good time. And I think any burning questions that people might have, or just want to know how things work behind the scenes at the CCFR, it's a really good opportunity to have a nice informal discussion and learn about all that stuff, and even provide an opinion or two of your own. The other thing is, don't forget about the Podcasters Charity Shoot. I think it's the 9th annual Podcasters Charity Shoot, and that is in Drumheller, Alberta. I'm just looking for the date. That date is, I thought it was in August. It's not, you know what? There it is. It's July the 6th. So if you're going to be in the province, or you'd like to come out to that, our television show is going to be there, so you might be able to get on to the CCFR's Canada Downrange, and I will be there as well. And bring your guns, take a couple of shots. I think there's a dinner there too, but there'll be a lot of activity. It's going to be a really great time, and that's a great time to be in Drumheller. If you got kids, you can bring the kids. The dinosaur stuff there is unbelievable. I took my kids there when they were young, so definitely worth the trip. So that's about it. Give those things some thought and take action. Don't sit on your hands, and get other gun owners involved in advocacy. It's going to take all of us to hold this back. I've never seen a push like this before, and I don't know where it ends. So anyway, thanks for all your support, and hopefully you can do more to support the cause. Other than that, I'm going to take a break right now. And when I come back, I'm going to have that interview with Mike Loader out in New Zealand.
In case you didn't know, the CCFR can provide a comprehensive and competitively priced insurance package for your shooting club. The proceeds from insurance sold by the CCFR directly support our operations to protect and expand your rights to own and use firearms in Canada. The CCFR wants to present our insurance package to your club as soon as possible. To get started, email us at insurance@firearmrights.ca. That's insurance@firearmrights.ca.
All right, we're back. So I've got this. It's not really an interview, as I said in the introduction to the to the podcast. This is an interview, I think, that's being played in Parliament or their Senate or whatever. I think they use a British parliamentary system the way that we do. But whatever the case. What's really interesting, and the reason why I wanted to share this with you, is a couple of things. Number one is that they do business just like we do business in Canada, you know, when it comes to the anti-gun folks. It's all about attacking this Mike guy. They just attack him as a person. They attack things he said. They don't actually debate what he's saying. And they don't actually talk about public safety. They actually attack him as a person. And I'll tell you, this guy, I don't know anything about him. So if somebody's from New Zealand, they're like, oh, you shouldn't have that guy on there. He's an extremist or whatever, right? Like, I don't know anything about him. But the words that he said in this testimony were really articulate. He's a really good speaker and he makes a lot of sense. He's a sharp guy, regardless of who he may be. I'm sure he's a great guy. I would actually like to get him on the show. So maybe I'll reach out to him. I got to do a little bit of research first, but anyways, very, very interesting how it's just a mudsling fest. And it does illustrate as well how ineffective our system is when it comes to actually creating solutions to problems, how it just always descends into politics and insults. It's really something. So here's Mike Loader testifying for some government body in New Zealand.
Okay, we have 15 minutes to hear your submission, Mr. Loader. So I encourage you to take us through the key points you want the committee to hear, and then we'll have some questions from committee members for you.
Outstanding. Thank you. First of all, I'd like to address one thing. One of the dirtiest tricks that is played in this debate is to paint the so-called gun lobby as other than society. We're not. We are society. There's 250,000 licensed firearm owners. By the time you take into account our family, our friends, our loved ones, our workmates, people we play other sports with, we are society. We want what's best. Our concern here is that this is not a zero-sum game. If we're being honest, there's some people on the panel who think this is a binary option. They think that if the gun laws work, that's good. And if they don't, the worst case scenario is shooters lose out. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. There is a third rail, and that is that bad laws can make things worse. They can drive firearms underground and leave the nation less safe. And that is what I'm campaigning against. That's my concern. I would also draw your attention to a common trick of con men. They create a false sense of urgency. You can take of that what you will. Now, New Zealand police, I believe, should be removed from management of the Arms Act. I think this is crucial. It sounds dramatic, but it's actually a very simple thing. The police do two things. They enforce the Police Act and manage the Arms Act. They have no business managing the Arms Act. It's not their job. They're police. They should be freed up to do their job policing. The clue's in the name. I would like to see management of the Arms Act taken from the police, given to a simple agency like NZ Land Transport. Not them, but a similar agency we'd set up with simple oversight, the same as the Children's Commissioner. Police have failed consistently. Police have lost 25,000 shooters. Let me say that again. Police have lost 25,000 shooters down the back of the couch. They're just gone. I asked them how that happened. They said they had a, quote, bespoke system, end quote. Apparently, that's fine. There are currently 6,727 expired firearms licenses. Police are doing nothing about it. They're, quote, awaiting action, end quote. I contacted Police Commissioner Bush about that. He's ignored my concerns. Police, of course, the committee there, police admitted they'd armed 29 gang members and left them with gun licenses. But the worst case was a guy called Edwards who came in from Australia. He had 53 previous convictions in Australia and police gave him a gun license. 53 previous convictions, because police don't data match with Australia. So vicious criminals can come over from Australia, they're clean skins here, they get gun licenses. Everyone else can data match, customs can, but apparently police can't. That man went on, again, 53 criminal convictions, went on to sell tens of thousands of dollars worth of guns to gangs. I asked Mike McElrath, head of firearms, has that problem been fixed? He said, yes, it has. He lied to me in writing, and I can provide you with that letter. I finally had to go through the ombudsman who made him admit that, no, they've done absolutely nothing. Years later, that's still a gaping hole, a ticking time bomb. He's currently, quote, developing policy. So we now know that police have armed 1,132 criminals from Australia. They've gone on to commit 36 gun crimes that we know of. Again, 1,132 criminals from Australia have been armed by New Zealand police who've gone on to commit 36 crimes. They're the ones we know about. It will be much more because the only numbers we have are the ones that come from deported, who are deported. Basically, also that man who's armed criminals, he gave police no help in recovering them. He was given only 2 years and 8 months, and that would have been consecutive with other crimes, so it probably would have been a free one. I've contacted the police commissioner, the prime minister, and Stuart Nash about this, and they've failed to respond. Also, where are we now? I believe that the facts are in, this is the second great lie of the gun control debate, is that there's any confusion at all. There's not. We know where the problem is, we know where the problem isn't, and you're down to agenda or reality, basically. 99% of gun crime we know is perpetrated by people who don't have a gun license. Our gun crime is low and consistently low, but the problem we do have is recidivism. Fully 9% of all gang members have 5 or more firearm convictions. Let me say that again. 9% of all gang members have 5 or more convictions. Not a gun conviction, 5 or more. The record, does anyone want to guess for the record, who's got the most gun convictions in New Zealand? Any guesses? 46. One guy's got 46 separate firearm convictions. That's a career destroying the public. 46. The top 5 have 135 convictions for guns, gun crime. The top 5. One guy has been caught and convicted on 9 separate occasions of having illegal guns. 9 separate times. Cops go, hi, Dave, you got a gun again? Yep. One guy's been caught and convicted 9 times of threatening police with a firearm. 9 separate occasions, caught, convicted. The most telling figure, more than 50 people have been convicted of threatening police with a firearm more than once. In other words, they did it once, went, meh, is that all? I'm completely confident in threatening the police again. We know that criminals will always have access to firearms. They can smuggle them, they can make them, they can modify them, they can steal them. We've seen all of that in New Zealand. We've had machine gun murders in New Zealand with homemade guns. And all this was before 3D printing. So when we talk about gun control, please be aware criminals will always have access to firearms. Whether or not they use them is up to us. Basically, I think what this law is about is protecting people by making sure criminals and terrorists don't get hold of guns. Well, less than 8% of our gun thieves are caught. So if you steal a gun in New Zealand, only 8% of you will even be caught. Police don't treat it any more seriously than they do a toaster theft. I've asked Mike McElrath to change that policy. He shrugged and smiled. No, he won't be doing that. Police don't even attend 12% of scenes of gun theft. Don't even show up to them. If they do show up, they attend the scene days later or by phone. Obviously, this needs to change. It's absolutely appalling. If you are caught by some act of God, you're actually caught and convicted of having a stolen gun, you'll probably get, if you're unlucky, you'll get a fine for less than the value of the gun. And if you are, by some miracle of miracles, you're actually convicted to a custodial sentence, it'll be free. Less than 10% of them serve a day in jail because they're always serve consecutively. All right, now to the Terrorist Act itself, obviously this is just absolutely horrific, but we want to stop this happening again. People have asked, would the attack have been as deadly without semi-automatic rifles? No, it would have been worse, much, much, much worse. We know from the Scumbags Manifesto, he did this, he killed 50 human beings in retaliation for another psychopath killing 86 people with a truck. There's also truck killings in Berlin, Stockholm, and in Spain. 9/11, of course, set the world on fire. 3,000 people were killed that day, 6,000 injured. That was a box cutter. Charlie Hebdo, he killed, of course, the terrorist there struck with AK-47s. I can assure you they were not legal. The worst indigenous terrorist crime in America was the federal building. 168 killed, 800 injured. That was a homemade truck bomb. So, again, also in Australia, apparently we have to bring ourselves in line with Australia. I don't know why. Since their harsh laws, they've had terrorist attacks with guns. They've had massive, massive crime with guns. It's achieved nothing. Their Australian recent Australian terror crime, of course, was Monas in 2014. He struck with illegal guns as well. I'd address with respect to MP Collins there. I don't know if you were quoted accurately in the media, but you accused shooters of scaremongering. I'd direct you to the police union for that. The police union have claimed that 20,000 firearms are stolen every year in New Zealand. The actual number, 500, with police recovering 900 to finish the year in credit. Police do a very good job there. That's actual police work, which they do well. They've been recovering a lot of guns to end the year in credit. Again, police union claim 20,000, actual number 500. The police union lie and cannot be trusted. They also said that 1 in 5 of their members will face a gun every year. No one did the math on that. The media just blurted that out. That would come to 2,500 cops being attacked every year. The actual number of prosecutions for threatening a cop with a gun, 12. So again, police unions claiming 2,500, actual number 12. They've dropped that number to every week. Now, it's not every week.
I'll just let you know, we're coming close-ish to our time. So if you want to allow some time for questions, which I'm sure the committee would be keen, if you could move to a conclusion, that would be helpful.
Okay, very good. Just very, very quickly, police union have claimed that 60,000 guns come in the country. It's actually half that. The Otago Daily Times has had to apologise for them. I've won broadcasting standing complaints against them for using those figures. It's fear-mongering. It's not good. They're extremists. This is my concern. This is what I'm coming up to. I'm concerned that people have got... Basically, the government's done an end run around democracy. They've gone to a back room with people like the police union who have lied to them, and that's my concern. And the last Law and Order Select Committee, the police union didn't mention criminals once. What they did mention in a 57 points in a 19-page submission, didn't mention criminals once. They did attack shooters. I asked them why they said that Labor simply won't punish criminals. That's what they told me. Other concern is the Green Party. The Green Party literally don't know what country they're in. I've looked at their policy. They want changes to the firearm acquisition certificate. That's Canada. That's not New Zealand. It's also Canada a while ago. So our concern as shooters is this, these deals are being done in back rooms with people who literally don't know what country they're in. Now, shooters are responsible. In summary, we will support anything. We will compromise with anything except stupidity. We want to be safer here. And these new laws are rushed and they're ill thought. I've made a lot of details, which I'll, in the fine points of my submissions, I'll make another one today. I'll now take any questions. And I thank you for your time and listening.
Thank you, Mr. Lider. Before we move into questions, I will just note you've made a number of accusations about other groups. I let that run. I will be providing those groups and people with an opportunity to give responses to this.
And I'm also happy to send you, everything's in writing. I don't say it if it's not in writing. I'm happy to provide that to you as well. I wouldn't make those allegations lightly. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Lider. So, Mr. Lider, you've provided a number of reasons expressing why you do not want this piece of legislation, this form, to proceed. I do know you've also made other arguments on your blog and in other forums, and I'll quote one directly. You have stated that these weapons are, quote, an essential tool for preserving liberty. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Did I say that, or was that someone who posted on the thing? My concern with them is that firstly, these guns aren't new. They've been around since, the 1800s. They're used by people every day in sport. There's nothing dramatic or unusual about them. Obviously, if they're misused, they have the potential maybe to harm other people when they have access to these large-capacity magazines. So it's a simple loophole. All you have to do is make every semi-automatic E-category. Simply, it's all there. We have the additional security, additional vetting. Again, these are sporting tools. There's nothing dramatic about them. This has been a very dishonest debate and very emotive. And when you look at it, it's the most popular gun in the country.
The post in which you made that statement, I'll cover up the image here, is a post which states that governments which have enacted gun control include the Nazis in Germany, Soviet Russia, the authorities in Rwanda before the massacre in that country. And the image which I covered up is one that you posted in that piece, which is an awful image of human remains hanging out of an oven in the Nazi death camps. You seem to be implying that gun control was a precondition for that kind of persecution. Is that your view?
It's not my view. It's historical accuracy. Again, I can show you the gun law that specifically disarmed the Jewish people before the horrors of the Holocaust. I don't see what that has to do with the specific law we're discussing here, but I'm happy to discuss if you want to. The simple fact is that the first thing tyrants do is take away the guns from responsible people, and also they silence free speech. But again, I don't see what that has to do with this. It seems to be a philosophical debate you're having. I'd like to address the specifics of the bill, which don't seem to make us any safer.
Well, we can. The one next question I will ask you, because I think this is actually part of the reason why you're opposing this bill, and it's one of the concerns I have, is that...
With great respect, please don't tell me why I'm opposing it. I'm happy to tell you.
I will ask my question of you.
Certainly.
On your site, in the course of debate about this bill, you have called groups within the firearms community who have expressed some support, names like scum and traitor. You have called the Prime Minister a tyrant.
Yep. May I address that? May I explain why?
Theories about the United Nations and foreign powers being behind gun control efforts.
You've raised 3 points. May I address them, please?
And the question that I want to ask you is, do you understand why some of us, given what happened in Christchurch 2 weeks ago, may be concerned about the fact that you have a strong voice within the firearms community towards people who are armed with these military-style semi-automatic weapons, and you are promoting what are effectively conspiracy theories that are listened to often by people with white nationalist and extreme right-wing agendas. Do you have any sense as to why that might be of concern to other New Zealanders?
Well, you've made three allegations. The first one is that I've said the UN is involved here. Philip Alpers, Professor Philip Alpers, who never finished school, but apparently is a professor, he's funded by the United Nations. The United Nations funds Philip Alpers to campaign. The American Democratic Party, through Democrats Abroad, work with the Green Party to get our school children to leave school and campaign for their gun laws. These aren't conspiracies. This is confirmed. Now, when I called the Prime Minister a tyrant, it took 2 years for Pike River to report back. I watched the Prime Minister literally laugh when she announced that new gun laws would be rushed through. A journalist said, will people be able to make submission? She literally laughed and went, ha, hurry. That is a tyrant. Tyrants represent the people. They don't shove their opinions down their throats. So there's that. And what was the third allegation you made?
Sorry? There wasn't any
I don't deal in conspiracy. I deal in facts of what's actually happening here.
On your website to you. I'll hand over to Judith Collins for further questions now.
Good morning.
On TV Gun Blog, your blog.
I'm sorry, your audio is very, very bad. Could you speak up, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Kiwi Gun Blog, your blog, on the 23rd of March at 1800 hours, you described Swazi's Davy Hughes, who said that there is no place in society for AR-15s and AK-47s, as scumbag.
Is that absolutely.
And why is that?
Okay, thank you for the opportunity. Sorry, that was the question I didn't answer before. Basically, a lot of deals have been done here, and they're very, very dodgy. We had a Green Party candidate boldly hand in his gun. That was all over the media, this absolute scam. It was pure fake news. He was celebrated for handing in his gun. No one mentioned it was a pure publicity stunt. So this is what we're dealing with, is publicity stunts. Now, if you want a fun drinking game, go back to the Prime Minister announcing the gun laws. Every time she said rural, take a drink. Obviously, deals were done with certain groups representing farmers, and they betrayed their brother shooters, and I find that absolutely disgusting. I make no qualms about it.
Yesterday, when News Hub ran a story, and you put it on your blog, that most hunters back the government's proposals, you called them scum. So is that the most...
No, the media, absolutely, because the media have engineered a narrative debate. Hunters do not support this at all. I deal with hunters every day. Hunters do not support this at all. You have useful idiots have been brought forward and paraded about. Hunters do not support this bill.
Do you consider yourself to be a reasonable proponent for the gun lobby, Mr. Loader?
I'm fact-based. I research, I look at what works and what doesn't, and I behave accordingly. So absolutely, yes.
So would it be reasonable to phone the office of the then Minister of Police and advise one of the staff members that behaviour of the minister was what was the reason that some people burnt politicians?
I was dealing with someone who was taking great delight. I was dealing with someone who was taking great delight in obstructing me and obfuscating. And I said, I basically said, this is what drives people nuts. This is why people don't respect parliamentarians. I was basically being excluded from contact with my representative. And again, people have taken pleasure in denying 250,000 people access to their MPs, and I think that's disgusting.
Do you consider that you are a fit and proper person to hold a firearms license? Mr. Loader.
Well, I have a genuine interest, and I'd never ever allow any firearm I had control over to pose a risk to personal property, so I imagine yes. Again, I've been shooting since I was a kid, and it's never occurred to me to pose harm to anyone or anything, so I demonstrably am. It's not a question. I am a fit and proper person.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Loader.
Thank you very much.
What would you think if you heard the government decided that your rifle or shotgun is now too dangerous to own? What if they told you that you couldn't keep it at your house, that you had to pay to store it at some central storage facility? What if they told you that you had to surrender it for destruction or go to jail? These actions are being discussed in government in Canada right now. Think about this. Have you taken any action whatsoever to prevent this from happening? Well, you can. For $40 a year, you can support the hardest working firearm organization in Canada, the Canadian Coalition for Firearm Rights, and get $5 million worth of insurance. The CCFR lobbies government and works to improve the public image of gun owners through media and educational campaigns. Protect your own ability to own and use firearms before it's too late. Go to firearmrights.ca and click Why Join. That's firearmrights.ca.
All right, and that's going to do it for episode 39 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks for joining me once again, everyone. Don't forget, the CCFR AGM is on June the 1st. That's coming up really quick. So if you're in the Calgary area, or you plan to be, and you are a member of the CCFR, make sure you come and be part of the business meeting, the Ask the CCFR meeting, and also have dinner with us. It's going to be a really great time. Also, if you're around the Drumheller, Alberta area on July the 6th, it's the 9th annual Podcasters Charity Shoot. I'll be there. We'll be shooting some guns. It'll be a lot of fun. A great place to take the family during the summer as well. If you aren't a member of the CCFR, please consider becoming a member. You get some insurance. I think this year everybody got a patch. And it's $40, and it helps us employ people full-time so that every single day they are advocating on your behalf. So anyway, go to firearmrights.ca. You can always sponsor us on Patreon, and you can always enter some contests that we have. I'm going to be talking about one of those in the next episode. So thanks again for all your support. Take care, and we'll see you soon.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.